Buried is produced and distributed by KETR.org and is presented uninterrupted thanks to the support of its fans and listeners. Become a supporter today when you visit KETR.org and click donate.
Hello?
Hey, Janice.
How are you doing today, George?
How's it going?
So, how's things going with the story?
Well, I was actually, I'm actually in your old neighborhood right now in Tishomingo.
You are?
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you where he's probably at right now. I know where her mother lives. It's gonna be, which way are you coming in from?
Well, I'm already on the main street. I tried to go to his house, I think. Is it?
He goes to Mike's a lot. Mike's Handy Shop.
What's that?
It's a liquor store and a convenience store.
Oh, okay.
So what are you doing up that way?
Well, I was trying to talk to him.
Oh, okay. Let me tell you a girl that you can talk to that will tell you where he's at.
Okay.
Possibly. You want to go to my friend's house?
Yeah, probably. So, I don't know. Seems safer.
I probably would be, but
I don't mean like physically. I just mean that maybe they'll. I don't want to go to that lady's parents' house because they might not appreciate that, right?
Oh, well, if you want to talk to Cody, you're gonna have to go to that house.
Yeah, but it'd be better if someone gave me his number, and then I could ask. You know?
No, I'm just surprising.
Yeah.
Because if you ask to talk to him, they're not gonna let you.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
So, just go to his house and surprise him. Because he's going to run.
He's going to run?
He probably would. I mean, he's going to avoid you.
You don't think?
So, I'd just go surprise him.
Okay. But I don't want to have, like, a confrontation. You know what I mean? I was trying to have, like,
Oh, you're not. That man ain't going to fight you. He's a pussy.
No, that's not what I mean. I just mean, like, I want to have, like, a normal conversation. I'm not trying to accuse him of anything. You know what I mean? I just want to find...
Oh, right. Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So...
From KETR Public Radio in Northeast Texas, I'm George Hale, and this is Buried, a podcast and investigative series about the 1991 disappearance of Carrie Mae Parker, and about a man serving time in a Texas prison. Janice helped me track down her ex-boyfriend, Cody, when I went up to Oklahoma. You heard that in the last episode. But it didn't happen quickly. The first day passed without any progress. I gave up late on the first night.
Hi. Grab a seat wherever you'd like.
You got yourself a seat.
Isn't that sad? But yeah.
No, it's not. What can I get you to do for
okay.
The next morning, Janice helped to put me in touch with a couple of people who knew Cody. One guy named Jeremy, he's not the one in prison, lives in a trailer park not far from downtown Tishomingo. I brought coffee, and we sat outside after the rain subsided.
Jeremy?
What's that?
30 seconds ago, I just started.
Oh, really? Good.
The time's just right.
Want some coffee?
Sure.
I brought some for...
Get out, Jack. Come here. Get over here, boy. Come on, Jack.
Jeremy told me about an act of kindness from Cody, taking him in when he had no place to stay.
So Cody seen me struggling there, and he took me in with him and his wife, Gayla, and he had his boy.
Cody was married at the time, and his son lived with them.
She was not know his name. I feel so ashamed.
The one who died?
Yes.
Yeah. Steve?
Steve, yes, yeah, Steve. And he moved me in the garage, more or less, you know.
Cody's son's story is heartbreaking. He had cystic fibrosis and survived a double lung transplant at age 18. just before his high school graduation. He succeeded in his goal of walking across the stage to accept his diploma. The transplant gave Stephen an extra year of life. He died in 2013. An online obituary notes he was survived by his, quote, honorary parents, Cody's sister Suzanne and her husband Dan. Suzanne died a year after Stephen from cancer. Her obituary says she was preceded in death by her cherished nephew.
Of course, they're going while they're in their pity together, you know.
He said that Cody and his girlfriend are often despondent, Cody over his son's premature death, and her for losing her kids in a custody dispute.
What's her reason to pity? Kids?
Yeah, the kids and Charlie not letting her have them and stuff.
He sees Cody's destructive impulses as more self-directed than outward.
Janice said that you might know, or that Charlie might have a good idea of how to get in touch with Cody too, and that you could probably put us in touch.
Last time I seen them, Tamara was right there in the high school parking lot walking, and they said, "Well, we ain't gonna be here tomorrow. We're gonna be at Mike's."
Mike's.
And I was like, "Mike's?
Then?"
That's the guy that they built some of those rental rooms.
Oh yeah, I just stayed there last night.
Handy shop.
Yeah, I was just there.
They're supposed to be staying there, and Cody's supposed to be building that next row behind there.
Oh really?
Yeah, he's supposed to be living there, living on site, on job site.
Uh-huh. And
I ain't seen either one since.
How long ago was that? Because I was just there. This morning.
Wasn't too long ago, I guess. A couple months, maybe.
Because
I don't get out much, so they might be there. I don't know.
Well, maybe I'll stop by.
Moving on. Let's see what this is.
Oh, it's Janice. Perfect. I'll put her on speaker.
Your name, okay. Press the key.
All right.
Hey, sis.
Hey, how the hell are you, Jeremy Davis? Good to hear your voice, buddy.
Nice to hear that you're
I love you and I miss you.
Miss you too, girl.
Yeah. I hope I can get up that way and visit.
Yeah, I hope so too. Well, you just go right ahead.
All right, I will. All right, but look here, that's a good dude sitting there beside you.
Yeah.
All right, and just have
the
best as much as you can.
Yeah, I'm telling them what all I can. Yeah, straight up truth.
All right, well, every little shot feels about you, buddy.
Yep. All right.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Jeremy.
Take care
of yourself.
Later.
Bye, Janice. Thanks.
All right.
Anyway, while he and Cody don't get along, Jeremy says Cody is generally kind and outgoing towards others.
Is Cody like a nice guy, though? Like a calm, peaceful... Like, Janice described him as like a sweet guy. You know?
He is. Yeah, he's a sweetheart. He's always just a... Like me, I'm more of a mellow kind of guy.
Yeah.
And he's always... Hey, man, how you doing there?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of an acting guy, you know.
Yeah, Janice said that he's, like, never met a stranger. Is what
exactly, yeah.
But he wondered if something might have happened in Cody's past that would make him punish himself to the extent he does.
I don't want to, like, I'm not going to come out here and accuse him of anything. And I hope that just by talking to him in this situation, you don't think that I think he, you know, necessarily did anything.
Well, if he done something like that, then that might be a good reason for some of his... path, you know.
Well, this is another thing Janice said too, you know, that
it's like he's like I said, you know, trying to kill himself in honor of. Maybe that's part of the in honor of. Makes sense. You know. There's something just self-sabotage, you know.
It's a real thing, supposedly.
It would explain a lot.
Yeah. Is he just like can't hold a job, can't...
Right, you know, I mean, yeah. Have a car, then, you know, lose it to no insurance and stuff like that, you know, just... And you get a dollar, run to the liquor store.
Yeah.
Instead of, what, you know, having supper or whatever. It just didn't make sense, you know. You got to behave as if there is tomorrow and have faith.
So Cody would be doing construction for Mike's, maybe?
He's supposed to be working on that next bunch of motel rooms. Be my guess, though, that it didn't work out. I can foresee. I see the future.
Oh, man. Cody never has problems with anyone, see? He doesn't ever have, like, he's cool with people and...
He hardly ever has a beef with anybody, really, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to think about. It's good to hear from another guy that Cody's like that, you know? Good-natured, I mean. But is that true from your perspective, too?
Oh, yeah. Even when his anger, or when the cards fall stacked against him, he's all, instead of, he's all, I want, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, that's his character there, you know.
So when I show up at his doorstep here in a few minutes somewhere, he's going to be like, oh, man.
Yeah. Well, dude.
Jeremy suggested that I check out a local motel to see if Cody was still staying there. That's one of the places I left my card before Cody called me.
Okay, cool. All right, man. Thanks, I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You know what happened next, more or less. I left my card at the motel and at Cody's mother-in-law's house. Not sure which one sent him my way, but he called and we had a mostly friendly conversation.
Hello.
Yeah. This is William Song. Are you trying to reach me?
Hey, yeah. How's it going?
So I'll skip over that part and move to the next week, when I met another person Janice thought might have something to tell me. His name is Billy Givens, who's serving time in a Texas prison. But before he got arrested in Oklahoma, Billy spent time with Janice and Cody. Carrie's sister Patricia gave me a letter that Billy wrote to Janice back in 2015. It included a disturbing reference to a conversation he'd had with Cody. Here's a portion. Quote, he told me the last time he saw her was in a bar. Then he said, no body, no crime, and kind of left it at that. Apparently Janice asked Billy if he'd talked to detectives about Carrie's case. Billy writes that Janice, quote, can tell Patricia that I will talk to the investigators too if it will help. He said, I only know what he told me that day, but I know he gave me the impression he killed that girl. I wrote Billy a letter asking about his conversations with Cody, and that led to several more letters back and forth. I asked about anything Cody ever said about Carrie, what he thought about Cody, basically anything I could figure out. This was all before I met Cody, and I wanted to learn as much as I could beforehand. I made sure to emphasize that if he didn't think Cody was involved, I'd be just as eager to hear that opinion. Here's part of what Billy wrote me in July 2017. Quote, I understand the importance of clearing Cody's name if he is innocent, more than many would or even could. I am not convinced Cody had anything to do with that woman's disappearance either. But then again, who truly knows the evil in a man's heart? A theme throughout Billy's letters was compassion for Carrie's family, even though he'd never met any of them. Quote, I feel for Carrie's family. The not knowing and lack of closure must be hell for them. They are victims as much as anyone in that ordeal. My heart goes out to them. After talking to Cody, I decided to ask the Texas Department of Criminal Justice to approve a request to interview Billy at the maximum security prison close to the Oklahoma border. Arriving at the prison, large signs warn drivers not to leave their motors running, and to always take their keys with them inside. But not cell phones.
Hi. I'm a reporter. I have an appointment here.
Okay. You got your driver's license?
Yeah.
They made me submit to searches and asked if I was bringing any illegal drugs inside. They also picked apart the radio equipment I brought along for the interview. Huntsville declined to let me meet Billy in a visitation room that would allow sound to pass between us naturally. I was hoping for something like mesh wiring or maybe glass with holes. Nothing like that is here, apparently.
That'd be a time out of the bar, aren't there, wouldn't it?
When people visit, like, their family members and stuff, do they have to meet behind the glass, too? Or... Yeah.
However, they reluctantly agreed to let in a wireless microphone set. An officer led me through the place, and we talked a little about the chaos of working in a maximum security prison.
Are we clear?
We have a civilian.
Where's he at?
Right here.
As I looked around, the officer pointed out that it doesn't look like what most people think prisons would look like.
Step out?
Yeah. Is he?
Can I get you just to step out?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't really get that because it looked exactly like I pictured a maximum security prison in Texas, like in movies.
Can you leave this up right here?
You can leave it right there.
He says to come out this armory.
Okay.
Thank you.
I want you to knock us all down and grab all the weapons that you're in.
Well, I'm thinking about it.
I can see in your eyes.
Anyway, shortly after he said this, we passed a large red sign next to a metal sliding door. It read, "No hostages beyond this point."
What does this mean, hostages?
It meant, I think, if you go through this door, you're on your own. And that's where we were heading, to the visitation room.
I am Officer Gavings. I will be escorting you in.
Just put this all back together, I guess.
Have you,
Along a wall are a row of little booths. Open one of the booths, and you're in a tiny room divided in half by thick glass. On the other side is pretty much an exact replica, except you can't leave the prison from the doors on the other side. Billy was waiting when I walked in, wearing an all-white prison outfit. We picked up the phones attached to the wall and introduced ourselves. Billy started off by apologizing for the lack of hospitality.
Well, they told me that since there was glass, they would allow me to bring a wireless microphone. So they're asking for a supervisor to approve letting you use it. But it would just be like, all you do is just hook it to your, you know, yeah. And then I'll handle the rest. So, yeah, but, oh man, I feel bad because there's...
The wireless mic I brought was made to attach to Billy's collar, and the signal arrives at my recorder on the other side of the glass. But when I got there, the warden apparently hadn't received whatever paperwork was required. The clock started ticking on our interview, which was restricted to 1 hour. I tried recording the output from the phone, which was ridiculous, but it sort of worked. Here's some of that conversation.
Like I said, he went to a rough... I don't know a lot of the history of it. Like I said, he didn't mention Carrie May by name. He didn't mention the location. He didn't... There's a lot of details that were left out, and I didn't ask. I didn't pursue because I halfway thought that he was full of crap. And then the other half of me was like, well, I really don't want to get involved, and it doesn't concern me, you know? But when he did talk about it, he was like, if they were at a bar or somewhere like that, and they'd gotten into an argument, and she went her way, and he went his, and that's the last he saw her. And then, like I said, just out of the blue, he made the comment about, I guess they don't have a body, they don't have a crime. I was like, well, you know, that's kind
of
weird.
After a few minutes of this, the warden approved the request to bring the wireless mic on the other side of the glass. An officer disappeared, and then a different one appeared on Billy's side and handed him the microphone. So we started over.
Okay, that's awesome. Okay, 1 second. Sorry about that. Okay.
Hi.
Is it too much to ask for you to tell me what you just said about Carrie against?
No, no, no. Go ahead.
Okay.
Here's what he told me about that strange encounter with Cody.
Cody,
when he spoke on Carrie, he was vague. It wasn't... He mentioned no names. He didn't mention locations. He said that they got into an argument, and they were at a bar, and she left with somebody else, and that was the last time he saw her.
Mm-hmm.
Considering where we were and what we were doing, and my situation, I felt like maybe he was trying to bond on something that we had in common. You know, him being investigated by the police, because at the time I was in Oklahoma, I was on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was his way of bonding and or what have you, but
yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense.
And like I said, you know, the comment that he made about, you know, there not being a body, so there you know, no body, no crime, that kind of struck me as odd. But then again, you know, I guess he figured that maybe she just ran off and didn't want to be how many people just run off that, you know, and don't contact their family for years and years and years. It's,
yeah, you know, that was his, that's what he told me, I mean, just 2 days ago, is he said, if you look in Mexico, I think that's where she is, you know, and I'm just like, really, though? You know, it's, I just, there's no evidence for this, of course, but he says that she told him things like that, she wanted to go to Mexico, and, yeah, I mean, what do I know? I've never met her, like, maybe. She,
I mean, yeah, but maybe, you know, but what are the odds? How many years has it been?
20-something.
You know, and,
yeah.
It just...
Can I just ask you, in your letter to me, I'm trying to think, there's one for Janice, one to me that had the same sort of story. I think you mentioned that he was saying something about her leaving with somebody else or something
right.
like that.
He said that they'd had an argument at the bar and she'd left with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I think at the time of, if I'm not mistaken, at that time he was working for a... No, this happened in Texas.
Okay,
right. He was in Oklahoma when he worked for the quarry, so... I don't know. I wish maybe I'd ask more questions now, but some things you just... it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
It was kind of uncomfortable talking about it, and... at the time, I had problems of my own. You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to get involved in anything that he had going.
Sure. Yeah, you and everyone else, you know. Like, it's like Cody, you know, seems to cause chaos wherever he goes. But still, though, everyone says, even the people who are evicted, like Jeremy, who knows you, I think. Jeremy, yeah. You know, he still says that Cody has a good heart. He seems like a good guy and never met a stranger, kind of, you know. And like I said, I'm not here to pile on Cody, you know?
I mean, I'm not trying. Yeah, I'm not trying. Yeah. I don't want to pile on him or make him into hell. People say I'm a good person, and some people say I'm not worth the shit.
Right. So, yeah, I really only have, like, two questions, I guess, about Cody before we can just move on. But it's just, first is, like, how did that come up? Like, what were you guys doing exactly at the time and when?
We were going to score drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were going to to make a dope deal, and it was snowing. The reason why I remember it is because the weather was real bad. We were in a little Subaru. We were in my little Subaru, and we were just for some reason the conversation just stuck with me, you know. And it was idle banter. Any other time, that any other thing, I probably wouldn't have. But the comment, that one comment, just stuck with me. Nobody, no crime. Who the hell says that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you're talking about something like that, you somebody that you supposedly had feelings for, or that you know, and you just so nonchalantly throw a, oh well, nobody, no crime.
That's a good point. I hadn't really thought of that. Yeah, I mean, he does say, you know, that they're broken up and over by then, you know. So maybe he's not as, I don't know, but let me think just quickly. And he didn't mention the name of the other person, I assume.
No.
I think I know who it is, but I think it's a guy named Jim Wilburn. But I was.
He never mentioned, though. That name never came up. I mean.
Can I go back to dealing?
If I could get in touch with him and I could talk to him and he'll not know that I discussed it with you, then...
I should definitely qualify all this by explaining that Billy isn't too keen on Cody these days. He thinks Cody might be the reason he's back in prison now. We're going to release a longer version of this conversation. Part of the reason why is that I told Billy I would give him an opportunity to discuss the case that landed him in prison originally. He was convicted of a heinous crime as a 15-year-old, and he adamantly denies it. I've spoken to Janice, other friends from Oklahoma, and Billy's sister about the conviction. They are all convinced that he's innocent. But that's too much ground to cover here. So look for that next. By the way, you can find all the extra content we release at ketr.org/buried. Anyway, here's why Billy thinks his present incarceration could be linked to Cody.
But like Janice said, we didn't leave on too good of terms. As a matter of fact, I think he's the reason why I'm here. I think he's the one that told on me.
So that would be my next question. What's that about?
Oh, well, I felt that something was fixing to happen to me. As a matter of fact, I told Janice the Sunday before the U.S. Marshals ran down on me that I wanted her to take my car back to Texas and give it back to my mom, and go see her kids and just get out of the way, because really I expected to hold court right there. I didn't expect to come to prison. I expected to die right there. I was going to make, you know, we were fixing to have a shootout. And so Janice told Cody, when Cody came in from work, I said, look, man, Janice is going back to Texas on Monday. I said, so when you get your check, give her $100 so she can have gas money and go back to Texas. And I think he was kind of offended, because it wasn't like I asked him, I told him. And Janice wasn't like she asked him either, because me and Janice just had a bond like that, you know, and Cody always resented that. Well, that Tuesday came, and he hauled around and didn't go cash his check. That Monday came and he didn't go cash his check. When Tuesday came, that morning he went and cashed his check. This was in May, right before, this is May 4th that Janice left.
Mm-hmm.
May 5th was Cinco de Mayo. And Cody went to work and he was gone all day. When he came back in, he had some Mexican food. And we'd been off drugs for about a week or so at that point. And I thought I was just coming down, real hard. And he said, here, man, eat this. So I ate the Mexican food that he had, and it knocked me out. I feel like he drugged me, really. And I called Jan that next morning when I got up. I told Jan, something's not right. I'm not feeling right. And she's like, well, you'll be all right. You're just coming down. You're going to be all right. I was like, well, all right, you know. And I laid back down. Well, Cody came in at noon, and he's like, hey, man, you want to do some stuff? I was like, man, I need to do something, because I'm not getting up moving around on my own. He's like, all right. Well, he called somebody over. We wound up getting high. And he's like, man, we've been moving around a lot at night. I can't go outside. Why don't you go outside? And we need to drain the septic system on this trailer. I'm like, all right, no problem. So I go out there and I do that. And then the next thing I know, the U.S. Marshals run down on me and all that. So... just the way that when the U.S. Marshals picked me up off the ground, he looked at me, he said, man, if you hadn't got told on, you'd have never got caught. We'd have never caught you out here. And he's looking right at Cody when he said it. So then on top of that, when we got into the jail, he's told me, man, they set my bond at $20,000. I'm like, what? We had been here for 15 minutes. How you get a bond set? So I go back to talk to U.S. Marshals, tell them, look, I've been here for 4 months, tell them everywhere I was at. They let me out. Cody's already dressed back out. He's like, man, my boss Russ made my bond. I'm like, man, bullshit. You couldn't make a $300 cash bond 3 months ago when I showed up. There's no way you just made a $20,000 bond. That's not happening. You can't sell that to me.
Wow. And, that's really interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not mad at him. I don't hold any animosity at him about doing what he did, because it probably saved me. Yeah. What I'm mad about is he took my cowboy hat and my boots afterwards. Now, me being from Texas, you do a lot of things, but you don't take a man's cowboy hat and his boots.
Oh, man, that's messed
that's
up.
That's what I'm upset about.
I also asked Billy about a reference in his letter to Janice that Cody had mentioned getting rid of somebody in a quarry in Oklahoma.
Okay, I guess the only last thing I want to ask is... about that, I mean, is something you said to Janice, or you wrote to Janice about how he had said he had done something like that before in the quarry. Like, I didn't know what it meant exactly. Like, if Cody was just bullshitting. Or...
You say that's when I was said. Well, he was in Texas when this happened. Yeah, he made a statement about the quarries where he worked in. He said, man, you know, you put a body in there and nobody would ever find him. And as a matter of fact, we drove out to one, and this Doug guy, he was right. If you put a body in it, it's lost forever. But if he was in Texas when this, I don't know how far Quinlan is from Oklahoma. I don't.
It's two hours. And
yeah, so I don't know if I don't even know if he was working at the quarries at the time. That might have just been a general observation that he'd made when we were there or what have you. But.
Yeah, this is in Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, but he's right. If you were to throw a body in, plus he worked a track hoe, mm-hmm. You know, he's the one that dug the quarries out. Mm-hmm. So if you threw something in there and you covered it back up, it's lost forever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Oklahoma was on his radar back then. He was only like 19, living in Quinlan, you know, with his parents.
Yeah, so that was
But still, it's just interesting.
Yeah.
I never could get a straight answer about what all that was about. It's not clear how freely Billy can really speak or write from prison. It's something I'd love to ask more about when he's finally out. We met in 2017, and right now his projected release date isn't until 2021, so it'll be a while.
And you know, and I've heard stories that, you know, he was in with a sheriff around that area, and they were doing some dirt together, and he did mention that he had a piece of land there in Oklahoma. And the reason why that came up is because I was looking for somewhere to go. I knew that my time there in that part of Oklahoma where I was at was running thin, and I'd like to keep moving.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, we could just take the travel trailer and go to this piece of land that I've got up here in Oklahoma. He said, it's hard to get to, but, I don't know, you might be able to ask Janice. She might be able to tell you more about where that's at or what happened.
Yeah. To be honest, Oklahoma is sort of doesn't really matter for me because it's like we're all in. All this happened in Texas, and, you know, I don't think Cody had ever even moved to Oklahoma until years later, so.
Right.
But still, it's really, I am glad that I went there and glad I talked to him, glad to talk to you, of course.
To lighten the mood, apparently, I told Billy about Cody's claims to me that he didn't use drugs, aside from pot occasionally, and perhaps a bit too much drinking.
And also, just, you mentioned Cody doing drugs. I know how stupid this is going to sound, but Cody told me that he hasn't done hard drugs since, like, you know, back then in Quinlan.
Yeah. That's what Cody wants to believe. You know. Hey, but Cody's not telling you the truth on that because, I mean,
yeah,
I had a methamphetamine addiction, and I don't think that he wasn't much better than I was at it. So, yeah. I mean, not to put his business, but it's the truth.
Yeah,
Sometimes you got to face your demons in order to overcome them.
I don't care that he does drugs. That's somebody else's problem, you know, for me. But it's just, if you're going to tell me that you never did drugs, it makes me wonder what else you're telling me that's
right,
not true, you know?
Exactly.
That's what I care about. I don't care about him doing drugs. But so you've definitely seen him, like, shoot up and it's like,
Laugh.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think we've argued over the last bump before.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, I just had to ask, because I was kind of like, he told me, he's like, you know, he's got a drinking problem, and he smoked pot a few times, which he's not proud of, because it's illegal, or whatever. I'm like,
Come on, man.
It's like, I don't think pot is a...
I'll laugh about that for hours after this interview.
Like, enjoy that, you know.
I don't know if he still is, but I know that the last time I saw him, we just got through pulling a needle out of our arms 30 minutes before they arrested me. Fortunately, now I'm clean and sober. If nothing else has sobered me up, this place got me sober.
I'll leave it at that uplifting spot. Billy did later write to me and point out that I shouldn't consider Cody a dishonest person based solely on lying about drugs, if he was lying. I appreciated that reminder and thought I'd pass it along here, too. Cody didn't know me, and he didn't know what I'd think of him. He had no reason to volunteer a lot of information about anything illegal. I don't think lying about drugs is the same as lying about other stuff. And that reminded me about the thing Cody told me that didn't make a lot of sense. That the police talked to him in 1991, and he had an alibi. I tried clarifying what police he was talking about back then. As far as I know, the sheriff's office claimed not to know about Carrie until 2010. Who was asking about her in the early 1990s? I decided to start looking into the police, including some involved in Carrie's arrest right before she disappeared. We pulled up records from the case, including a police document that appears to identify the lot where authorities impounded her car. It was at a property just beyond downtown Quinlan, where a hitchhiker would take Carrie's brother 2 decades later. Buried is produced by Emma Anderson and me. Its executive producer is Jared Knight. Brad Davis composed the original theme music. Podcast cover art is by Crystal Sid. Buried's photographer is Brittany Greider. You can see her photos at ketr.org/buried. That's also where you can find links to past episodes and some of the key documents referenced throughout this podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/buriedradio. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. And our email address is buried@ketr.org. Special thanks to Charles M. Cato and Dylan Davis. Thanks also to the Public Information Officer at the Grand Saline Police Department. Thanks again to Daniel Ray, Laura Kinnemer, and Claudia Alvarado. Buried is a production of 88.9 KETR. Public Radio for Northeast Texas. To support Buried, go to KETR.org and click the red donate button. And thanks.
This show, and others like it from KETR.org, is only made possible by the generosity of listeners just like you. You can help make this show and others from KETR possible by donating now at KETR.org.